Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the phone this morning is Scott Mugridge in Delta Junction. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Amy. Glad to finally be doing that.
Yeah, thanks for joining me this morning. I'm excited to interview you in this way. And Scott, I always start my show by asking guests to tell us a little bit about themselves, particularly their connection to Alaska. How did you get here and your connection to agriculture? Were you born into this or was it a choice? So take it away.
Amy, I was born into agriculture. I was on a large farm in Illinois. It was a livestock and grain operation owned by my father and uncle and grandpa. And I started farming myself, raising livestock at a very young age. When I was 16 years old, I was marketing 6,000 head of hogs a year.
Wow.
I had two full-time hired men, and I was going to high school.
When you were 16? Geez.
Yeah.
Ambitious.
Yeah. I started young. So I think I got my first bank loan when I was 11 years old.
So. There you go. So you said that was in Illinois?
In Illinois, yeah. Born and raised in Illinois. I was in love with livestock and all aspects of it. And livestock trading and auctions really impressed me. And I wound up working for an auction, managing that auction, and then later owning that auction for a total of about 15 years.
Okay.
And then after the auction business, and my wife and I were just wore out from running that, and we wound up running some feedlots out in the west in Nebraska for customers that we had dealt with for the several years in the auction business. So I've spent my entire life in the cattle feeding, trading, auctioning, marketing. I spent four years running a meat plant in Nebraska. And so I've been in every aspect and every side of the livestock business, I guess.
Yeah, and how did you end up in Alaska, Scott?
You know, my son and I were both managing feed yards in Nebraska, and my son was kind of looking for a new gig. He was not real happy with the corporate feedlot he was at, and he found this for sale farm, turnkey operation. It had all the equipment and the cows and the land and rental agreements, and you know, his mother and I hadn't had a vacation for a while, so we decided we'd come look at it, and we absolutely fell in love. We made the mistake of coming the third week of July, and it doesn't get any better than that. And so anyway, we fell in love, and on September 14th after that trip, we had sold some investments in Illinois and Nebraska, and had bought this farm and arrived here in 2013. We've been here 5 years.
Okay. Wow. So you had never been to Alaska before that trip?
Never before, and never had to. I guess I never even thought about it, Alaska, before that trip.
Wow. That's incredible. So, gee, I just can't really fathom that. You know, I remember my first trip to Alaska was, let's see, it must have been in 2002. And I fell in love in that same way, but I certainly wasn't ready to sell everything and move here in a matter of months.
Well, the only thing I still have in Nebraska, of course, my daughters are both still there, and I still own a commercial feed yard or a portion of a commercial feed yard there in Nebraska, but everything else we packed up, moved here, and we do love it. We found a great opportunity here for a challenge. You know, we find that agriculture in Alaska, it lacks a lot. So challenges have always been my thing. That's what I like doing. And I don't think I'll ever wear this one out.
Always something new, huh?
I think we'll still be, yeah, I think we'll still be working on this agriculture here, growing it for many years to come, or at least all the years I'll be doing it.
Yeah. So, Scott, I've never been to your ranch there in Delta Junction, so I'd love for you, I've seen lots of pictures and I've heard you talk about it a lot, but I'd love for you to paint us a picture of what it looks like. Describe the acreage and the animals that you've got, et cetera. Tell us all about it.
So between leased and owned acres, we farm about 2,200 tillable acres, and a large portion of that is in hay production. We do put up a lot of silage as well, as we feed most of our cattle, We do raise a large portion of our own grain as well. Some of those acres would be in barley and oats production. We run about 150 mother cows and calves, and then we try to keep back about 30 replacement females every year. We do a lot of AIing to bring new blood in. You know, it's a lot easier to bring semen up here than it is new bulls.
Yeah.
So we try to keep bringing new things in all the time and updating and improving our herds that way. We buy feeder cattle from farms all over the state. We like to feed cattle. That's our main core operation, I guess. And so any feeder cattle we find for sale or anyone that finds us wanting to sell some, we're willing to buy them and finish them and turn them into a juicy, tender piece of meat for your freezer or for some of our many meat market locations that sell our product.
Yeah. Beef cattle, the only thing you have on the farm or on the ranch there, Scott, or do you have other animals?
We've got elk. That's the only outside thing. We've got elk hunting. We also sell elk in the meat markets as well. We do a lot of them just for meat, but we do have a elk hunting preserve here, so it's probably one of the few herds of elk in the state anyway.
Yeah.
But, maybe one of the largest, I guess.
How many head do you have?
Just under 100 elk, I think.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah. So, Scott, if people want to learn more, connect with the ranch, find out about product availability, or connect with you about selling you some feeder cows, how do they find you? Are you guys on the internet, on the Facebook, et cetera?
Yeah, Facebook, we're in there at Mudridge Hay and Cattle.
Okay.
Our elk operation is Misty Mountain Elk Hunting Adventures.
Okay.
It's on there as well. You can always phone or email me personally, or my son Justin that works with me, and we're both always willing to talk to anyone about any of our products. We sell hay and grain as well as livestock, I guess, but quite a bit of hay. We do produce a lot, so we sell a lot of our best hay, I guess, is what we sell. You know, we've kind of got the need for the cow hay end of it.
And are you, does the hay move around statewide? Do you have delivery services down here to South Central or other parts of the state, or is it just pick up there in Delta Junction?
It's mainly pick up here. We do deliver up into Fairbanks, and we just haven't got into the delivering to South Central. It's we haul most of our cattle down there now for butcher at the slaughter plant, so it seems like we make enough trips that direction.
Just one more thing to add to your schedule. If you're just joining us...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you're just joining us, this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the phone this morning is Scott Mugridge of Mugridge Hay and Cattle and Misty Mountain Elk Adventures in Delta Junction. And we were just talking about the different services and products that you have there available. And you've been here 5 years. Man, Scott, it seems like longer than that. Of course, our paths crossed, I think, for the first time because of the Farm Bureau. You're very active in the Farm Bureau chapter there in the interior, aren't you?
Yes, I I was the president of the Delta chapter for a long time, and this last year I retired as president, but I'm still a state director, and I'm also vice president of the State Farm Bureau. And I also chair the Farm Services Administration State Committee. I'm chair of that as well. So I get pretty involved in the agricultural community, and I like the challenges that we face. I like trying to solve the issues that go on here with ag production in the state. And so anything we can do, we do a lot of tours here at the farm, see a lot of interesting people, from politicians to undersecretaries to and we do outside holiday tours as well. So there are a lot of people come and go and see the ranch, and we've got a lot of grass acres. It's a pretty beautiful place, I guess. You know, for Alaska, there's more open ground and a lot of grass acres here. And the Sandhills cranes, a portion of them spend the summer here on the ranch because of the cows and the water available and stuff. And so it's a pretty neat place to visit.
Absolutely. I would agree. I can't wait to get up there and check it out. Scott, well, I just have to throw this out there too, because I have been, I've had the pleasure of eating meat produced there on your farm. Last year at the Farm Bureau annual meeting, I spent a pretty little dollar on one of those prime ribs from your ranch. And I have to say, it made our Christmas just that much more special because it was so delicious. And just this last week, I was down in Oregon on my home ranch where I was born and raised, and I was talking about that prime rib, actually. And because I just brought it up, talk about the process that I was trying to explain this to my cousin about how you cook it halfway, you season it. What do you do? I mean, because it was halfway cooked, I just had to cook it for a little while when I cooked it on Christmas Day. What is that special process that you do, Scott?
So if it's a secret,
you don't have to tell us either.
Well, I'll get into that part. But the meat plant I ran in Nebraska, we were a further processing plant. So we did a lot of cooked meats. We did a lot of aging and curing and that type of thing. And probably our number one product was our prime rib.
Yeah.
And so we cooked and shipped that prime rib all over the world, literally. And I have cooked so many million prime ribs, it's not funny. But
I'm not good at math, but that's a lot.
it is a lot. We cook prime rib every day of the year, it seemed like. But sure, every day of the last 4 months before the holiday season,
right,
we did. But we season it. It's a proprietary seasoning. I couldn't tell you what was in it if you threatened me with something. I couldn't tell you what's in there. It's made by a spice company for us, and it's a proprietary thing that was that went along with our meat plant. And but anyway, it's injected, seasoned, and as well as on the outside, it's cooked slow in the oven for a certain amount of time, and then we have strict warming instructions that doesn't further cook it. It just warms it, reheats it, brings it back to where it was, and you serve it to your liking, you know. And it was well received all over the world. I never get tired of hearing it, but every time I serve it, I get all kinds of compliments, and I love doing it. And I hope someday that there's a meat plant in Alaska big enough that wants to take that proprietary knowledge and use it and go back to marketing that product. It's very well received everywhere.
So, yeah. Well, like I said, I grew up on a beef cattle operation and have eaten a lot of beef in my life, and that was a very, very excellent prime rib. And your instructions, you know, I've cooked a lot of prime rib in my life, but never this way that you told me to. And I followed your directions and it came out perfect. So I would encourage folks, I guess, if you're not a Farm Bureau member, join the Farm Bureau and then come to the annual meeting, and you might get a chance to bid on one of these prime ribs of Scott's. But I'll say you'll have some competition, because I certainly want to get my hands on another one. Yeah, it was good stuff. So, Scott, let's talk about where your products are available now. I'm sure a lot of Alaskans have had your product and maybe not even known that they were eating your meat. So, especially down here in South Central, where can we get our hands on Muggeridge hay and cattle products?
Well, let's see. Probably the lead places in South Central are Map Valley Meat, and in downtown Anchorage, you can get it at Old Number 9.
Yeah, Butcher Block Number 9.
Butcher Block Number 9, yeah. And they really do a lot of meat products out of our beef there. They make a lot of fine charcuterie meats and stuff. And we're in Homer, Alaska as well, McNeil Canyon Meats. Off and on, we're available at Mike's Meats in Eagle River. You can buy direct from us and have it processed at any of those locations, or it could be processed at the meat plant in Palmer. And we also do, we have stuff available in Fairbanks here at Mid-State Meats and as well. There are several people that come right here to the farm and buy their butcher animals here and take them and butcher them themselves. So,
okay. Any restaurants in particular that are using your product?
49th State Brewery use our elk. They are the sole restaurant we allow our elk in. So it is also, the elk's available sometimes at Map Valley Meat or Butcher Block Number 9, but the sole restaurant that has it available is 49th State Brewery.
Okay. I've had your elk there before. They do a fine job preparing it. And to these, the particular time I was there, they were making a meatball out of the elk, and it was, man, it was delicious.
I know Chef Tom loves the elk, and they order quite a few of them, and that's why we remain with them solely, is the limited supply of elk in the state. We feel like it's a special thing, and we'd like to keep it in a special place. 49th State Brewery is very good for agriculture in Alaska. They like to use local product of all kinds, and we appreciate their business.
Yeah, absolutely. I can speak to that as well. I had Dave on the show, boy, back in the winter months at one point, and they hosted an event for us a couple of months ago, our Drink Bear Safe Farms concert with the Super Saturated Sugar Strings, and it was a really great night. They brewed a special beer for us, so they're one of those leaders that are out there kind of really being a champion for local food, and we appreciate that a lot.
Yep, we appreciate anyone that's willing to use local product and push it, so it's a great thing.
Yep, absolutely. Well, another reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the phone this morning is Scott Muggeridge of Muggeridge Hay and Cattle Company up in Delta Junction, Alaska. Scott, I've just got all sorts of cattle questions running through my head because I'm a cattle kid myself. So first question is, what breed of cattle do you find to be most well-suited to these Alaskan winters, and particularly the gnarly winters that you get there in Delta Junction?
Well, it seems to me like, Amy, there are some breeds that might be a little more suited, like the Galloway, that have a lot of hair to them, and the Highlanders, some of them, they also have a lot of hair. And we have those breeds mixed in. Being we do buy cattle from all over the state, we seem like we get some of those. But our predominant breeding lines here are Black and Red Angus.
Okay.
It seems like what gets these cattle through these really harsh winters up here is just how well they're conditioned and prepared for it going into it, and how well fed. But believe it or not, they survive this cold pretty well. We don't have a building for anything to get in, and we had 850 head of cattle here this winter. So,
good Lord, that's a lot of mouths to feed.
A lot of mouths to feed. We ran out of I'll say this for a punch to agriculture. We ran out of our own barley this year. We feed some cattle as well here for Mike's Meat there in that own the meat plant in Palmer, and Mike's Meat's there in Eagle River. And so we custom feed some cattle here for them. And anyway, we were purchasing barley from a neighboring farmer here in Delta. And in 90 days' time, we purchased over $100,000 worth of barley.
Wow.
To go into our feed program. So
wow.
A big, big shot in the arm for agriculture here in Alaska. I mean, it's for so just a few hundred head makes that big of a monumental difference or monumental difference in agriculture here. Could you imagine what a few thousand head could do? And,
absolutely.
And what we've got to look like in the future, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have the director of agriculture, Arthur Keyes, on the show quarterly, and he's a big advocate for mentioning that that livestock is kind of an anchor piece of the agriculture system in Alaska. And if we can grow our livestock industry, then it grows our hay industry and it grows our grain industry and it grows the value-added products. And if we can just support that livestock industry, it really has a big impact on everybody else. And what you just said would attest to that. I mean, that's a huge amount of money.
It's a significant thing. And those dollars will stay here in Alaska, get spent here in Alaska, and probably spent again and again. You know, versus, you know, some of the outside manufacturing of oil or those kind of jobs that we have here. So
yeah. So Scott, for you, those feed needs to winter that many cattle and to keep them fat and happy through those despicable winter days, do you also have to import protein sources from outside, or are you getting everything that you need here in Alaska or producing it yourselves?
We get everything here in Alaska except a few small feed supplements, salt and mineral, and we feed a yeast product that helps with digestion, and some of that has to be brought in because it's just not available here. But outside of that, we're finding, you know, we're growing peas up here in Delta now. There's several different farmers growing peas, so we buy peas for a little added protein. We put up our own pea silage as well, and use a lot of that. But between the silages and the peas and the barley that we raise here, we can produce everything right here, and it's all non-GMO. You know, our cattle are grass fed until they're finished on grain in the end, and it's a beautiful setup. It really is. I mean, we're so blessed here in Alaska to have what we have, and I think it'll be a great future for us someday.
Absolutely. So on that high note then, Scott, what would you say, and this is kind of an unfair question, it might take more than one answer, but what would you say is the biggest challenge to livestock production in Alaska for you and your ranch?
Oh, you know, the challenges are the same as everywhere else. I mean, weather is a challenge here. Maybe a little more so than the lower 48. We do get some colder temperatures, I guess. The long winter's kind of a challenge. We have to feed our cattle a little longer than the lower 48 gets to stay out on grass longer than we do. We have done some things to overcome some of that. We do some swath grazing where we grow a cereal grain like oats, and we plant it late in the year so that it's green right up in the fall. When the first snow arrives, we go in and mow that down, and that's where our cows will winter. In the first several weeks of winter, they'll spend grubbing through the snow to get that, and it's a really cool thing. It's added probably an average of 6 weeks grazing time to you know, outside of having to haul hay for them. So we've extended our summer somewhat there, you know, we're overcoming most of the challenges, really, that I see here.
Yeah.
There's a little challenge in the interior here with wildlife. You know, we have some fence trouble with the moose. We have the opportunity for bears can be a problem here. We run electric fence on this ranch, and we don't see much bear challenge, but we hear about it around. Different neighbors have a little bit of a problem with it. Ravens are probably our biggest predator.
Ravens.
They deal with they're kind of hard on babies.
Sure. Well, that's good. I mean, I know you're an innovative guy, and you'll try new things and figure out those challenges. So it's nice to hear that, you know, people always say or think that things must be so much more difficult here in Alaska, but it's just a different set of challenges, right?
You know, yeah, it's a different set. Like you said, really and truly, the winters here, the ground's frozen. We don't deal with the mud they deal with in the lower 48. We don't deal with the temperature swings back and forth between warm and cold. Normally, we don't have a lot of wind, even though Delta is known for wind, but there's not a lot of days of it. There's only a few days where we have extreme wind, and that's unlike the lower 48 where they deal with wind on a lot of occasions. So really, I think there's things that outweigh, you know, the frozen ground and the no mud thing to me is a pleasure over some of the years I've spent in the feedlot industry in Nebraska.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Scott, so I'm going to challenge you here a little bit to put on use your crystal ball and imagine Muggeridge Hay and Cattle in the next 5 to 10 years. What do you hope the farm looks like then, or where will you be expanding, or how might things change as maybe your son starts to take over? Or what does the future hold for you guys?
You know, I guess the one thing I would like to see is more slaughter available here in the state, and I think we would like to get into feeding more cattle and maybe becoming a full-fledged custom feed yard here. Where the grain's available here and the land's available here, and there's a lot of our neighbors could have cows, and we could feed cattle for a lot of different people in that aspect. That's kind of where I'd like to see our operation go, and see my grandsons and son take over and keep trying to raise the food sustainability here in Alaska.
Very good. I like it. And like you said, there's plenty of acreage there in the Delta Junction area and plenty of feed. And I can't remember what Arthur throws around the pounds of red meat consumed in Alaska every year, but it's a lot, and we're barely tipping that iceberg, right?
Barely tipping it. Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's probably a $5 billion industry or something between all foods. You know, maybe I don't know what red meat might be up towards $2 billion or something. We're in the hundreds of thousands yet, I think. So
yeah,
we've got a ways to go. Yeah,
and nothing but opportunity, right?
Nothing but up from here. Yeah.
Well, Scott, I've sure enjoyed our chat this morning. I appreciate you taking the time to be a guest on Ag Matters. It's been a pleasure to learn more about Muggeridge Hay and Cattle, and I look forward to watching you guys grow over the years.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate all the opportunity to see growth in agriculture here. So appreciate what you do.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Have a great day.
You too.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.